أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعليه الطاهرين، سيما على الإمام المنتظر والحجة الثاني أشهر. أما بعد، فقد قال سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه المبين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: فلولا نفر من كل فرقة طائفة منهم ليتفقهوا في الدين. چونکہ اس وقت تک جو آڈینس میرے سامنے ہیں، مجھے ضرورت محسوس نہیں ہو رہی ہے کہ میں انگلش میں گفتگو کروں، اسپیشلی اسٹارٹنگ، آہستہ آہستہ تھوڑی تھوڑی انگلش آتی جائے گی. اسٹارٹنگ میں میرے لیے بھی خاصا مشکل ہے اردو میں بھی بولنا، کیونکہ ہم لوگ اپنے حوزہ علمیہ میں اسٹارٹ عربی میں کرتے ہیں. تو ایک تو یہ بھی امتحان ہے کہ میں اردو میں پڑھ رہا ہوں، لیکن تھوڑی دیر کے بعد. اچھا، یہ میں بتا دوں کہ بیسیکلی اس درس کا ڈیورنگ دس منتھ آف رمضان فارمیٹ اسپیک تو اونلی فار 20 منٹ، اور ریمیننگ 25 منٹ یا 30 منٹ فار کوشچن آنسر پر. ابھی تک جو پاسٹ ٹو درس تھے اس میں اسپیچ ذرا لمبی ہو گئی تھی، لیکن آج نہیں، کیونکہ پورا مہینہ رمضان کا جو آپ میری اسپیچ سن رہے ہیں وہ درس والی ہی اسپیچ ہوتی ہے. لیکن اب پرابلم یہ ہے کہ سٹرڈے کو بھی ہمارا کوشچن آنسر کا ایک سیشن ہے، اور آج بھی اگر کوشچن آنسر ہو تو یہ بہت زیادہ ایک دوسرے سے سملر ہو جائے. تو اس میں ڈیفرنشیٹ کرنے کے لیے آج کے دن بلو 25 کے لوگ سوال کریں، اب 25 کوئی نہیں، لیڈیز تو کبھی ہوتی ہی نہیں ہے 25 کی، تو 18 ہی کی رہتی ہیں، تو وہ بلو 17، اور سٹرڈے کو جو ہے 25 پلس، ان لوگوں کے ہم سوال لیں گے. دونوں کے سوال کی نیچر میں بھی بہت فرق ہوتا ہے. تو یہ میں نے اس لیے کہا کہ پہلی پرائیٹی ہماری آج یوتھ کے سوال کی ہوگی. آئیے اسٹارٹ ہم کریں یہاں سے کہ قرآن کریم نے جو ٹرم استعمال کی ہے سورہ حجرات کی آیت. آئی جسٹ ریسائٹڈ ون آیت فرام سورہ حجرات. اٹس اے ویری امپورٹنٹ آیت. Nearly on the main gate of every house of India and madrasa, almost on the main gate of every madrasa, you can see this ayat written in Arabic, then in translation of the local language Urdu, Persian, Punjabi, Gujarati. The translation is that laula nafara min kulli firqatin, ke Quran ordering us or giving an instruction that it's not possible for everyone to go to gain the faith. So it should be the duty of it, go from every area of every region or every form. Laula nafara min kulli firqatin ta'ifatun, a group, liyatafaqahu fid din. کہ کیوں ایک گروپ ہر علاقے میں سے ہر ریجن میں سے نہیں جاتا، کیوں جائے؟ پرپز کیا ہے جرنی کا؟ انٹرٹینمنٹ کی جرنی ہے، پلیجر جرنی ہے، بزنس ٹرپس ہے، پرپز کیا ہے؟ لیتفقہوا، سو دے گین دا فقہ نالج. سو واٹ از دس، واٹ از لیتفقہوا؟ When Quran says it is not the duty of every Muslim, it's not. Namaz, Salat is the duty for every Muslim. Sawm or fasting is the duty for every Muslim. But what is this yatafaqahu fid din? It is not responsibility or duty or obligation for every Muslim. Only ta'ifa, one group from every region. Le yatafaqahu. In simple English, we can say the transition is to understand the religion. But in our terminology, لَيَنَا فَقَّهُ إِلْمِ عَبِرْ, it is a very important ilm. Our purpose of our creation is to do ibadah of Allah. What is the meaning of ibadah? The meaning of ibadah is that, in other words, the meaning or the purpose of our creation fifth describes it. Fifth tells us about every action of our lives. That is the reason that one of the very great Sunni scholars, I think it's Jalaluddin Suyuti, very, very great Sunni scholar. But some ulama says it is about Fakhruddin Razi. Razi is also one of the top most Sunni scholars. Imam Fakhruddin Razi has a specialization in Quran. And his title is Hafiz. Jalaluddin Suyuti specialization in Hadith. And he has also a title of Hafiz. There is a difference between Hafiz al-Quran and Hafiz al-Hadith. These are two different things. Hafiz al-Quran, who memorized full Quran by heart. Hafiz al-Hadith, who memorized 200,000 Ahadith of Rasulullah or 100,000, 8 lakh Hadith by heart. With full chain of miracles. It's not an easy job. 1 lakh hadith, 100,000 hadith, memorized by heart, with the name of every narrator in a chain. So either it's Imam Fakhruddin Razi or Jalaluddin Suyuti, although I think it was Jalaluddin Suyuti. They, both of them, totally against Shia in their own life. But it's reported that just before their death, one of them, they accepted the Madhab Shia. And the reason which they told, the basic difference between Shia and Sunnah, the basic, is on the matter of Khilafah. And what type of difference? According to Al-Sunnah, Allah and Rasul gave free hand to Muslims to appoint or choose their own Khalifa. They say, Khalifa is for the purpose of protection of Ummah, so the Ummah or the general Muslim should choose their protector by their own, which they think that it's better for us. And according to Shia, the Khilafah is by divine command of Allah. Ummah is not free to choose their own leader. It should be appointed by Allah through Wahi or divine order. This is the basic difference, because today I am not going to discuss about Khilafah, Usul-e-Din or Imamah. I am going to give only a small explanation about fiqh. What is fiqh? Jalaluddin Suyuti, according to my observation, or Fakhruddin Razi, according to some ulama, Jalaluddin Suyuti, the last moment of his life, said that it's very surprising for me that Allah gave the order for every action of our lives. Even Allah told us, and Allah gave us the instruction how to enter in a masjid, what will be sequence of your feet, and how to go out of masjid. Even Allah told us which feet should be our first and which last. I am willing that because of my English it is going to be a bit funny, but no problem. You are right, please smile or alcohol, it's awesome, you are right. But I am just trying to give a message. Wording is not very important.
No.
accepting this, that Allah gave us complete code of practice even. He gave us the advice how to enter in the masjid, how to go outside the masjid, what will be the sequence of your feet, and even not only masjid, even in the toilet, washroom, restroom, bathroom, whatever thing, what the term you use. Allah told us, when you are entering in the toilet, which foot should be first and which will be last. And when you are coming out, so the complete religion, which told us about every action, even the sequence of our feet in different places. How can it possible? That their religion ignores the most important matter. Who protect Muslims, who protect Islam, who will be the guardian and supervisor? My example. It is not ready to accept this. So, in the last moment of his life, he embraced Shia, he accepted the Madhavi Shia. But the reasoning behind his conversion is that fifth, the last and final message from Allah is so complete that every action of ours is guided in the fifth. And not at the time of Prophet. Just 2 days ago, I told some stories about Ammar Yasir and Bilal Habashi. Even the story of Buddha, even Islam, even Allah told us everything about this time and the time after. I am feeling that I am going a bit divert from my topic, so I am coming back. This complete illustrates, and the scholar who has so much knowledge that he solved every problem from the Quran and Hadith, we called him Mujtahid. Now, a very brief and simple summary. How a Mujtahid gives a fatwa or ruling. First, he checks the whole Quran. When any masala comes across, he first checks the whole Quran. And at the same time, he checks all the ahadith. It is not the way to give in fatwa, yet Quran, if there is a solution in Quran, then we say it's enough. Quran has a variety of hadith. When there is something in Quran, then there is no need, we go to the hadith. When there is nothing in Quran mentioned clearly, then we check hadith. No. Quran and hadith, at the same time, he checked, just like I gave two or three or four examples in my previous lecture. In Quran, it's very clearly mentioned that the children are the heir of their parents or their father. They get miras. It's enough to give a fatwa. No, it's not enough. The Mujtahid at the same time check all the hadith related to this topic inheritance. And if he find a hadith which say that some particular specified children has no right, I gave two examples, Kabir, child, no, there's no right for him to get any inheritance from his Mumin or Musliman parent. Qatil, one who killed his father, and then went for mercy petition because he is now yatim. No, it's not accepted. He himself killed his father, and then he claimed that now I am a yatim, so please be merciful. No. So Qatil beta and Qatil. There is a third example. Fourth thing, Hidwa belongs, fourth thing, from the property of a person, goes only to his intestine. There is no right for daughters, there is no right for other children. Like braces, like ring, like Quran. There isn't any type of any hint, any clue in the Quran about it. Quran says clearly that Every son and daughter get the inheritance from his father. But at the same time, it is wajib, it is compulsory, it is obligatory. Husband. But at the same time, he has to check all the rulings of the past maraji or mujtahidi, especially till the time period of muhaqqiq-e-hilli or shaykh-e-kufi. I think you can see that I am getting the problem of this. In short time, many, many things I have to explain, but it's not possible. Very important. I think it's called in English consensus. It's correct word? Mm-hmm. With correct pronunciation or not?
Ijma consensus.
No, Ijma, Ijma is my jurisdiction. I can decide how to pronounce Ijma. But I am asking about the pronunciation in English, because sometimes pronunciation may be different from what you are used to. Consensus. It is consensus. It is lazim, it is obligatory, it is wajib. It is as necessary to check the consensus as necessary as Quran and checking Quran and Hadith. And that is the problem in today's life. There are many, many so-called scholars, especially those who read only two or four or six books, and they thought, and they had a good software about Quran, and now there are some good software about Ahadith. Very good software. All the authentic books and all the Ilm al-Rijal books, that means all things about the narrator, yes, you can find it in a simple CV or in a software. So you see that now we have gained as much knowledge as a mujtahid. So why we need to contact a mujtahid? No. All I am disagree from this statement also, but leave it. I admit. I say that you get full knowledge from Quran and from Hadith. But the most important and as important as this is the consensus of Ijma. And Ijma means the rulings and fatawa of the earlier mujtahideen at the time of Imam. There should not be this misunderstanding that ijtihad or mujtahideen start after Imam. No. In the presence of Imam, in the lifetime of Imam, there are so many mujtahideen endorsed by Imam. Imam told them, you are mujtahid, you have the authority, you have the right to sit in the masjid and give fatwa. But it's a very detailed history. I mention it only because sometimes I felt that a general Shia is thinking that the ijtihad started after the ghaibat of Imam al-Zaman. Totally wrong. So, ijma or consensus, it is, that means to check the rulings and fatawa of all mujtahideen, especially the mujtahideen of first era. That means from the time of Rasul Khuda to nearly Shaykh Tusi or Muhaqqiqin. Why we give so much importance to the consensus? It is a different matter in Hodaniya and in Mujtahideen book. There are so many reasons, but in short, the main fault, the biggest mistake, the main problem, the main shortcoming of the modern scholars is that they can or they did research on Quran somehow, and they did research on Ahadith somehow, not full, but they have no idea about the consensus. There are three or four very famous Arab and Irani personalities. I am not going to mention their name, but very famous personalities.
They are very good scholars, they are very good orators, they are very good authors. And they have very good middle level or intermediate level knowledge. But now, they are claiming we are mustahid. It's not the problem of only United States or Europe. Even in Iran and Arab world, they are claiming that we are mustahid. And giving so many fatwas, very awkward type of fatwas. Our established maraje like Ayatollah Sistani, like Ayatollah Khamenei, like Ayatollah Wahid Khurasani, like Ayatollah Subhaniya Zanjani, they told us the basic part of these so called mustahidi. They are very good, except from the fiqh, in Quran, in tafsir, in hadith, in oratory, in history. But these established maraje told us the basic point of these so-called mustahidin is that they have no idea about the concerns and about the fatwas of past marathis. When those who are sitting and living in the Hauza Ilmi, in the atmosphere of Ishtihad, in the same city in which, for example, Agha-e Wahid-e Khurasani and Agha-e Zanjani, but because their lack of knowledge about ijma, they are doing many, many harmful things to Islam. So how can we trust anyone who is living in United States or in Europe? There are so many so-called research scholars. I am not going to humiliate or insult this word, this term. It's a very good term, but now it is, today it is used in a bad manner, brother. There's a category. Brother Fulan, brother Fulan, brother Fulan is a very good orator, is a very good for you, is attractive, but we have to check their knowledge. And checking knowledge, only one criteria. Their speeches, their guidance, it is according to the fatwa of established maraji or not. Now, I really feel, realize that if I speak this in Urdu, it was better for me and for you for understanding. Neither you understand anything nor I am able to give the true message to you, but because it's 25 minutes past, I am the last stage. Now there is no time that I go back and then start from the zero. In the last two or three important things I am giving you. First, be aware of those who are giving the idea which is contradictory to your previous beliefs, or I say your previous religious education, until and unless you check or double check it with Maraji. Two very important things which every Marje is giving advice to all of Shia, especially Ayatollah Sistani and Ayatollah Wahid Khurasan. Because of this security problem, it's a bit difficult to get access to Ayatollah Khamenei, direct access. But many, many Zaireen, many, many groups visiting home and Najaf are meeting these two great Maraji of our time. One is Ayatollah Sistani, one is Ayatollah Wahid Khurasan. And other Maraji also, but these two are the top of the list, top of the rank. Both, nearly to every group and everyone, both of these Maraji gave two advice to everyone. Number one, teach your new generation, your children, their Eastern language or their mother tongue. English is very important, but don't forget your own language. And teach this to your children. Every guru, every zahir who met either Agha-e Sistani or Agha-e Wahid-e Khurasani or both of them,
there should be some reasoning behind this. These are the Maharaji. They have 80 years experience, full of Quran or Hadith. They are not talking nonsense. And the second thing which they are starting just now. Now means from last 5 years. And then the Azadari institution should be transferred to the new generation as you got it from your forefathers. There is no need to any addition in it or anything to delete from this. And although on this point there should be some explanation, which inshallah I will try to discuss on not on tomorrow, but day after tomorrow on Friday Majlis. But these two very important things, because our mother tongue, Gujarati, Arabic, Parsi and Urdu, these languages have an essence from Quran and Hadith. English is still far behind. For example, a very famous singer died in Australia 4 years ago. And then in newspaper and media they are telling the pupil is going to pilgrimage. They use the term pilgrimage if we visit even on a singer's grave or his purpose. And we told our children that going to Karbala is a pilgrimage. Going to Kaaba is a pilgrimage. There is nothing in English which can describe the true feeling and meaning of Hajj or Ziyarat. At least not at the moment. May possible that after 200 years, you Muslim, it's possible. You can change English slowly, slowly, slowly. There is many words. The curry is from India, but now it's one of the most popular words in England. But now at the moment, it is very necessary. And what is this one thing? And now, in the all which I said, in the context of that, now I only one or two things I want to describe about the faith, and then I will invite you for your question. Quran and Hadith, and third thing, a thing is consensus, ijma, the fatwa of all past masters. And it is so important thing, ijma. It is so important. Once again, I am going to repeat my one sentence. The research scholar living in North America and Europe, when we try to give you a message from Islam, they told you that in Quran it is mentioned, in Hadith it is mentioned, and according to them, it's end. And if they find something different from Majlis Fatwa, Majlis saying one thing, but they told us that this thing is not mentioned neither in Quran nor in Hadith. For example, today a vast number of English speaking orators are trying to convince our youth that this type of azadari which we are doing in our Imampada is not according to Islam. There is nothing about azadari in Quran, there is nothing about azadari in Ahadith. Maximum we can recite the Masail of Ahlul Bayt. And even in the Masail, nothing mentioned in Hadith that it is necessary to crying or weeping. So if we give a lecture only and two sentences of Masail is enough, because neither in Quran nor in Hadith nothing about this our detailed Azadari definition. But no merge agree from with this. Majority of Maharaji says that this institution Azadari is Sunnate Muakkada, and some told it is wajib now. Very famous reply from Ayatullah Ibn Qahigan. Some of the audience, I am pretty sure, they did the taqlid of Ayatullah Ibn Qahigan. When a person went to him and started asking a question about Azad Ali, he started from this Sayyid, Azad Ali is highly recommended amal in Islam, it is sunnat e muqaddas, so I want to ask. Aqib ul Qahigani stopped and told him, first correct your question. It is not sunnat e muqaddas, it is wajib according to my fatwa. Now, go ahead and ask what you want to ask. So, I personally heard that some new generation research scholar telling our youth and our youngsters that this type of adadari is only a traditional and cultural, it is not according to Quran and Hadith. And when they go further, they go, it's a big fitna which we are facing in Australia and in UK. Because I am not very familiar with USA, even in Canada. Then they attack on Hadith and Kisa. It's a very zaif Hadith, it's a very weak Hadith. They attack on Ziyarat Ashura. They attack on Dua'i Tawassul. And so on. And their only argument is this, that Hadith and Kisa or Ziyarat Ashura or Dua'i Tawassul, definitely it's not mentioned in Quran. So, as far as Quran is concerned, chapter is closed. Then they go to Hadith and say that there is not any authentic Hadith. There are the Ashura, one or two or three narrators, they are weak. Hadith and Kitab, Sheikh Abbas al-Qumi didn't mention it, Mafatihul Jinnah. That is the way of their research. I am not going to reply to those, because I know this crowd, this audience, they are 100% satisfied with Hadith and Kisa and the Arati Ashura and the Vaita also. I am trying to mention the basic fault in the research of those persons who are very sincere, but their sincerity was just like I told 2 days ago, like that reach a bear who throw a stone on a fly, the fly was sitting on his master's nose. Instead of killing the fly, he or she, I don't know what was the gender of that bear, he or she killed his or her master. This type of sincerity is not acceptable in Islam. But what is the basic mistake? They don't have any idea of what is ijma and what is consent. Consensus. Now, after giving a warning to you, this is not for them, this is for you and your youth. When anybody arguing anything only between Quran and Hadith, and when you told them, although it is not mentioned in Hadith, but our all past maraji endorse this, rather the maraji themselves recite this Ziyarat Ashura and this Ziyarat Hadith Kisa. Normally their reply is that maraji is not masoom. There is no Sharia binding to follow the Maharaj. We have to check only in Quran and Hadith. This is the basic mistake. And all the problems start from there. Now, I am trying to give you two very clear examples. When Ayatollah Khud gave his fatwa regarding moon cycle, there is no need to be the same horizon or shearing horizon. If the moon cycle is anywhere in the world,
This is enough for all the world. When there is those areas which are common in life, the very next day, the first of month, those areas which are not common in the night, the next day will be the first of month, but this moon is enough, one moon is enough for the whole. One cycle. Not one moon, one cycle. When I only gave this fatwa, also, nowadays, majority of our established maharaje giving the same fatwa. But 35 years ago or 40 years ago, it was a very new one. So Avayapuri wrote a book on this, or an article on this topic. Surprisingly, for a layman, he didn't start from the Quranic ayat or Ahadith-e Imam. He started from the Ijma. First he proved that I am not the first one, because if I am the first one, then that means all the past Maharaji are against this, so I am going against Ijma. No, I am not the first. In the past, this Maharaji and that Maharaji and that Maharaji also gave this fatwa, so I am not going against Ijma. Then he gave the examples or proofs or evidence from Quran and different Ahadith. When Ayatollah Mohsin Ulaki gave the fatwa that Christians and Jews are part, the same thing happened. So much propaganda against him, and then he wrote an article about this and start from the quotations of fatwas of past Maharajas, then he came to the Quran and Hadith. And there is a very interesting point also in this fatwa, but first I keep this. Even Imam Khomeini, what a towering personality and what a daring personality, but when he gave his fatwa or opinion about Vilayat-e-Faqih, his lecture, which are printed in a book form, Islamic Government of Vilayat-ul-Faqih. The same thing happened. The anti-propaganda started against Imam Khomeini. And because this Vilayat-e-Faqih is going 100% against the Shah of Iran, so the government is also involved in this propaganda. But when Avay Khomeini proving his nazariya, he didn't give the example of Quran or Hadith only. First, he gave us a list of the Maharaji, of the past Maharaji, who also had the same nazariya. But in the same book, he wrote, there is a split in Shia ulama from the very beginning. These two nazariyas are parallel from the beginning of Shia history. Half of the Maharaji accepted it and half not. And those who don't believe in Vilayat-e-Faqih on the basis of their research, they are excused. No need to say them that they are against Islam or against revelation or against Quran or Hadith. We respect their idea also. This is their own research. But Fulan in the past gave the same nazariya, so I am not inventing or creating a new thing in Islam. Look at these personalities, Avay Mohsin Haqqi, who was the king at that time, king without crown. It's the title of Avay Mohsin Haqqi. A single word of Avay Mohsin Haqqi is enough for the whole Shia world, even a Ghair Shia and a Sunnah. When he did Hajj in 1966, Shah Faisal personally requested him to lead the Jamaat Tehreer in Makkah. But he has to clear that I am not going against Ijma. Although my fatwa is 100% according to Quran or Hadith, but
this is not sufficient, I have to prove that it is according to Path Maharaji also. This is the main problem with our youth of today. They have no idea about the Ijma. And when anybody gave them one ayah and two hadith, they think everything against this is against Islam. And it's very good research scholar is giving us so much knowledge and is telling us this thing which nobody can told us in the past. First, you have to go to that research scholar and ask him that even Imam Musinaki, even Imam Kui, even Imam Khomeini, they didn't give any fatwa without proving it from the Path Maharaji. How dear you are? And aap itne himmat kaise? Giving a new idea against all Path Maharaji and at the same time condemning the Path Maharaji. They are old fashioned, they are old guys, they don't realize the youth problem and things like that. So it's first thing, it's very important. Now, it's 45 minutes. I wasted my time, I wasted your time, I wasted the time of the people on online. I'm very, very sorry because I didn't realize that so much time is spent on one point, single point. Now, let's go through another point. So, in the first lecture of faith, I told you the sources of faith is only two, Quran and Hadith. But today's lecture is fully on Ijma, and today, certainly, you got the impression that the Ijma is the most important. It's not contradiction from my past lecture. Ijma is so important because it is indirect hadith. We don't accept any Ijma until it is proved that the Imam's call or Imam's order is included in this Ijma. And how can we check if the detailed topic of Hawza is? Nearly 6 months. Ulama gave lecture on this topic for 6 months. But I try to convey a message to our youth that only Quran Hadith is very important, but Ijma, which is an indirect type of Hadith, it is also important. And today's research scholar who didn't attend Hawza and Niyaz, their main mistake is, this is one point, and the last point, because it's the last lecture of this Ramadan. It is the last sample lecture. Now we will decide later that is there any benefit of this type of ladkhadata hua lecture, or there is no need for this type of nonsense. Second, it's very important. Even for Hadith and Quran, understanding of Quran or Hadith is not so simple thing. And a very simple example, in internet you can find 25 or 30 or 35 or more than 50 different translations of different scholars. One Arabic, one Quran, but you can check that all that delicate ayah, simple ayah is simple. But when there is a hidden message in the ayah, nearly every translator has a different translation from the other. And without this research, you can check with internet, but leave it. There is more than 70 different firqa in Islam. And except one or two, every firqa claims that their belief and their practices are according to Islam. If one says that Rasul-e-Khuda is masoom from his birth to his death,
this firqa claims that it is according to Quran. And when the second firqa says Rasul-e-Khuda is sinful like we and you, from his birth to his death, they told us it is also according to Quran. And when the third firqa says Rasul-e-Khuda was a sinner from his birth to the announcement of Risalat-hood, and then from Risalat-hood to his death, he is masoom. He says it is also according to Quran. Except one and two firqa, every firqa has claimed that our contradictory aqaid are all from the Quran. And like this, the practices, way of ibadah, way of wuzu, way of ghusl, Shia wash their hands from elbow to the finger in this direction. And Ahl-e-Sunnah in the opposite direction. And both claim that this is according to Quran and only one ayah. In Quran, there is only one ayah regarding wuzu. فَقْسُلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ. أَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ, one ayah. According to Sunni, this ayah is describing this way of wuzu. And according to Shia, this same ayah describing this way. وَمْسَهُ بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَةِ. Same ayah. وَمْسَهُ بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَةِ. Ahl-e Sunnah wash their feet in the wuzu. Shia says it is just like haram. Because if you don't masah and wash your feet, the wuzu is batil, invalid. And your namaz, all your namaz are going to be invalid. But the both claim their way of wuzu. And the Sunnah says this ayat tells us, wash the feet. And Shia says this ayat tells us, masah on the feet. So, apart from the ijma, even Quran and Hadith, simplest of ayah, which is not easy to understand. If Shia says that although this ayah is describing the Sunni wuzu, but we do wuzu in a different way because of ahadith, that's a totally different argument. Next, Shia says, no, our wuzu is proof from the same ayah. If Ahl-e-Sunnah says, yes, this ayah it appears that it is describing the Shia wuzu, but we have some very authentic hadith, so we are doing the wuzu differently. No, they said the same ayah. It's simplest of ayah. Aydiyakum ilal marafiq, arjulakum ilal kaabah. No hadith involved in this, no ijma involved in this. So it's not so simple or easy. Even this discussion between Shia and Sunni, it is not the Indian ulama, it is not the Pakistani ulama, it is not among Punjabi ulama, it is not among Irani ulama. It is among, even among Arab ulama. Arabic is their mother tongue. The Sunni ulama is also Arab, the Shia Mujtahid is also Arab. Arabic is their mother tongue. Ayat is so simple in it. But at the same time, the Arabic knowing, Arabic is their mother tongue, they say ayat is says, wash the feet, they say ayat is says, masah. So how can a person who brought up in the United States, and then he learned Arabic as his second language, or even some research scholars didn't know about Arabic, they rely on the translation. How can it be possible? They can give us a total different view from all the mujtahideen, current and past. It's not so simple. For example, there is also a hadith on the screen. I gave you an example from Quran. So simple ayah of wuzu. Now I am giving you another example from the hadith. Although, this hadith
which is on screen, it is written in a very, very refined, very, very good way. This hadith is printed and distributed in Pakistan from 200 years or 100 years. I am pretty sure many, many youths in Pakistan, in Karachi, in Lahore, they already printed it and they are ready to distribute it on Shab-e-Juma tomorrow night and Roze-e-Juma. I am not a member of any email group and I don't want to be. I don't know English. I know with the language which I am talking is not English. It is your meherbani, you are listening it very seriously. But I know it is not English. I don't know English. Everyone knows it. But every Maher Ramadan, even in this Maher Ramadan, I received 50 or 60 different mails regarding this hadith. And the hadith is that Imam Ali told that if a person has many, many, many qaza namaz, then if he pray 4 rakat namaz on the last Friday of Ramadan, which we say Jumatul Badr, in Islam, Jumatul Badr. In our Pakistani culture, There is not only Jumatul Wida. There is Peerul Wida, there is Mangalul Wida, today is Wednesday Wida, and last Wednesday of Ramadan, there will be no Ramadan on the next Wednesday, there will be Jumaratul Wida, there will be Haftar Wida, but Jumatul Wida is Islamic term. In our report, that if you recite 4 rakat, 2 rakat, 2 units, and 2 sets, every set 2 rakat namaz, 25 times Surah Al-Ikhlas and other things. I am not going to misguide public, so I am not giving you the detailed procedure. Go back. Imam Ali says, if you recite this namaz, then your whole qaza-i umr, all of the qaza namaz during your lifetime will be forgiven by Allah. There is no guna. According to all our mushtahideen, I didn't remember single one who gave the fatwa that there is any other way for maafi of qaza-i umr except to pray all those namaz which you did first. If you have 10,000 qaza namaz in your life and you recite it 9,999 qaza namaz, then if still one remaining qaza namaz, you will be punished, except there will be a mercy from Allah or Shafa for Imam. According to Allah's law, you will be crippled, even if you recite it 9,999 namaz. So one namaz which will, remaining namaz, you will get punishment for that namaz. So there is no shortcut, no simple, not easy. But when we distribute the pamphlet and flyer regarding this namaz in our Juma Masjid, when we circulate email about this, our purpose to give mu'minis an easy way to get off from the punishment by only reciting 4 rakat. Now, fiqh, what is fiqh? There is 2 types of people. When they look at this hadith, one says, oh, it's a very good hadith. Make life so easy. I am going to qaza whole year namaz, and the last day of Friday, last Friday, I will recite 4 rakat. Even on that Friday, I will not recite Zuhur, Asar or Fajr namaz. No. I will go masjid at the Zuhur time not to recite Zuhur namaz. No. For recite this namaz and then I will come out. Very good hadith. This is the true hadith. This hadith is a very good hadith. And in the other hand, some so-called so-called Mu'mineen who think that they understand Islam, they says no. Absolutely wrong. This is a weak hadith or this is a mawzu hadith. Fabricated hadith. A chopri, a cross in this hadith, leave it. I heard. Personal. Put this fly into the trash can. One woman who was very emotional says, put it in the toilet and flush. There is Surah Ikhlas, there is Amirul Mu'mineen Naam, there is Allah Dua. This is the second extreme. But look at the hadith. There is everything mentioned in hadith to protect us from that misunderstanding. There is nothing wrong in the hadith. The mistake is understanding hadith. Hadith is this, that if someone has alleged or qaza excessively, in Urdu script, there is the wording, itni qaza namaz hai jitne rain ke zarre and drop of water in the ocean. Excessively. And we are in that state that reciting this qaza is beyond our capacity. We are aged, we are weak, we are sick. Now it's not possible for us to recite 50,000 qaza namaz. So what we do? Physically we are unable, but we want mercy from Allah. For those person Imam Ali told this namaz. This is written very, very clearly. If he has excessively qaza namaz, not 10, not 20, not 100, not 200, 1,000 and 1,000, then namaz is for those. And in the actual text, the wording was, if he has excessively qaza namaz and unable to do this, or usme namaz padhne ki taqat nahi, this mentioned in the actual text, then he will do this namaz, so Allah give him forgiveness. Very simple masala. That if you have qaza namaz, if you have qaza roza, but physically you are unable to do qaza, Allah is not zalim. It is beyond your capacity. So it is automatically in his mouth. Even no need to do it in this namaz, but at least perform this four other namaz. But it is not the case for those who have a limited qaza namaz or who have excessively qaza namaz, but they have power, they have energy, they are physically fit, they can do all the qaza namaz one by one, done by one, three by. This hadith is not valid. And also mentioned in hadith, this hadith is not the substitute of qaza namaz, it is a kafara. When you did qaza, there are two duties for you. One, to do this qaza namaz. Second, to do tawbah. If you did qaza namaz, perform it, but there was no tawbah with it, your guna is still there. And if you did tawbah but didn't perform the qaza namaz, your punishment is still there. Whenever anyone did qaza, he has to perform two duties, to perform this qaza and to do tawbah. And I am also doing tawbah for wasting your 1 hour in this language, which is neither English nor Urdu. If it will be in Urdu, then you will understand. And if, never believe anyone who is saying something different from a famous fatwa or famous ruling, and he is saying something different and proving it only by giving you two hadith and ayah and one ayah. It's not enough. And number two, even a hadith and Qurani ayah, if someone telling you that it is written in Quran and give a reference, it is written in hadith, give a reference, that is also not enough. Because understanding of Quran and hadith, even sometimes very simple ayah like ayah Ghusl, very simple hadith like this hadith, it's not simple ayah, but it's not easy to understand it. Even, once again I am repeating one point also. Even those people whose mother tongue is Arabic, even they are unable to understand Quran and Hadith. Because modern Arabic is quite different from the ancient Arabic, from the Arabic at the time of Rasul. I am not going in detail, I am giving only a simple Hadith. In modern Arabic, ta'am means food. Matam, restaurant, where food provide. Ta'am. In Quranic Arabic, ta'am means only wheat. Quran, in there is ayat in Quran, ta'am wa ahle kitab wa hilnul lakum. Christians, ta'am is halal for you. Those, the Arabic is their mother tongue. They quoted this ayat, the Quran is very clear that food of Christians are halal. So they are trying to justify even the slaughtering of Christians is also allowed. But not slaughtering. This ayat tells us that the Christians are halal. Even Adai Mohsin Hakim, who gave the fatwa, the Ahle Kitab is passed, but he very clearly mentioned that quoting of this ayah is misquoting. This ayah is not proving Ahle Kitab is passed. Who is the leader of the Taharat of Christians in this period? But say no, this argument is totally wrong, because Quran says Ta'am wa Ahle Kitab, and Ta'am during the Rasulullah or Imam period means only wheat. The translation is not the food of Ahle Kitab is halal, translation is the wheat given you by the Ahle Kitab is halal. So even though Arabic mother tongue, they didn't understand Quran or Hadith. So these two is very main point. Now, one question already I received from you. This question is better to mention in you session. In Saturday session, but I am also mentioning it in today, also in Saturday. Nisar Bande Ali Sahab abhi uthe gaye, and this question is related to him and his Sahab and Ehtisham Sahab and someone else. The question is that the burial procedure and the ghusl of kafan. One of the things is putting shroud or wearing kafan to a dead body. It is so time taking, exhausting procedure. There are so many complicated issues. But when this youth checked Tawzihul Masail or Islamic law, Imam Ayatullah Sista, the procedure of shrouding or kafan pehna is only half a masala, two or three lines, which takes nearly 30 minutes to 1 hour. And when we train our volunteers how to put the kafan will last 2 hours, 3 hours. And in Tawzihul Masail is only three lines, one simple masala. Why? The reason is that according to our current paraje means the all of paraje during last 70 years, kafan is very simple thing. Only three clothes, put first chadar, then just like pant and shalwar, and then just like underwear. Wrap them and finish. But I think it is better to do your homework, go to night, check in Tawzir Masail the procedure of kafan. But dear respect, I am pretty sure that majority of all of volunteers also didn't check the procedure from Tawzir Masail, they learned it from their teachers or from their senior. And then I will discuss this on Saturday also. Time while wasting, so much exhausting, sometimes it is going to be haram when the sunnat part of the kafan will be taken from the marhum's wealth and so many things. Only three lines, one of the simplest ways. Even wearing our dress by myself is a difficult one, and putting the kafan on the dead body is easier. Only one matala check, and then we will discuss it on Saturday. Now, I think it is better to ask youth if they have any questions, then I am ready, and it is better to request from the elders that because 70 minutes gone, actual majlis time is also finished. Thus time was finished half an hour ago, but the actual majlis time. So if they want to leave, I think there should be some refreshment, snacks and tea. For them, they can go eat it. I am thankful to them that they attend today's dars, and because of their presence, I get some encouragement, and the hall seems to be bhara bhara. Otherwise, it was two or three or four you. So I am very grateful, but now I don't want to put burdens which are beyond their capacity. If they want to leave, there will be no problem. And now I will start asking our youth if they have any question, they will ask. First, I think.
So, assalamu alaikum. Thank you so much for the lecture. You keep joking about your English, but it's excellent. So, it's definitely English, it's not anything else. About the ijtihad, you said the ijtihad started way before the last imam. Can you give us give us a little bit more about that? Which imam did it start with? You know, did it start as early as Imam Zain al-Abidin, or when did it start? The second thing, you kind of mentioned this in your lecture. You said that you're not contradicting your previous lecture that said the only two sources of fiqh is Sunnah and Quran. So people who would try to ignore the consensus, the ijma', and just focus on Quran and Hadith, they would still have a problem, because according to your last lecture, anything that comes from ijma' has to include the imam of the time,
yeah.
And that means there has to be a hadith from the imam or from the prophet about that ruling, which all the ulama have agreed on.
Yeah.
So it looks like even if you go to hadith only and ignore the consensus,
yeah,
you would still have the same conclusion, because if you include all the hadiths, then you would include, the hadith of that imam during that time,
yeah,
and you would agree with the ulama. So if you can clarify that, why would it be different? There's one thing I've noticed about the ijma'.
Yeah.
Sometimes you see that the majority of the ulama, the popular ulama, the famous ulama, agree on one thing. And there's like maybe one or two who disagree. And when you say that this issue in fiqh, there is no ijma' on this, because there's one or two, some people say these two are shawad. So we kind of ignore them. You can tell me about that. Is that okay? Or even if there's one single alim in the entire time that disagrees with that fiqh, is that enough to say there is no consensus? And also you said there's 70 firqas. We haven't heard of that many. If you can tell us how the usual amount of hijab, like maybe 15, yeah. 20.
Thank you very much the word of appreciation from the language which I still confused what language I speak today. But your four questions, I think you also realize that all the four questions need at least 5 to 7 minute explanation, and it is going to be a full-fledged speech if I cover all the four questions, but I will try as much as I can in the short time period. Four questions. After this, all the four questions are related to the main focus of my speech. Don't go against Ijma, firstly, and without gaining the proper information about Ijma on a particular topic, you are not allowed to make an opinion or go to any conclusion. That was the main point of focus of my speech. Now, four questions. The first question, normally we think or hear that ijtihad is started from the khaymah of Imam. As I told you, it's absolutely wrong. But the question is that, then, which time period ijtihad is started? Actually, ijtihad is started right from the time of Prophet, Rasul-e-Khuda. Unhi ke zamane mein, the same time ijtihad is started, although the famous hadith regarding this is Ahl-e-Sunnah hadith, but it is also in our book. Rabi and narrator are Sunni, but it is also in our book. And the very famous hadith, when Rasul-e-Khuda appointed Ma'az ibn Jabal, which I mentioned yesterday night majlis, bribery. Rasul-e-Khuda appointed Ma'az ibn Jabal as the governor of Yemen. And when Rasul-e-Khuda asked him, you are going to Yemen? Yemen is very far, far from Medina. If there are any new problem comes before you, how will you going to solve it? Ma'az says, I will try to solve it from Quran and Hadith, which I learned from you. Rasul-e-Khuda asked, if there is a very new problem, I didn't mention yet, so what can you do because you are so far? Ma'az says, then I will do ijtihad. Rasul-e-Khuda says, good, very good, you are absolutely right. Although the narrator of these hadiths are Ahl-e-Sunnah, but our ulama, after checking the hadith and their narrator and its historical background, they mentioned this hadith in our book also. But this is not the only one hadith. It is the most famous because it is common between Shia and Sunni. There are a chain of ahadith, but in the time period of Rasul-e-Khuda and Imam Ali, ijtihad was allowed, but at that time there was no need for any ijtihad because the Islamic world is very limited. Every 10 in a month can access Imam Ali or Rasul-e-Khuda easily. And the life at that time was very simple. All the common masail, Rasul-e-Khuda or Imam Ali had mentioned them by themselves. Actually, the need of ijtihad started from 4th Imam time period. Why? Because in the 4th Imam's lifetime, Muslims attacked and conquered Europe, Spain and Portugal. In the 4th Imam time period, Muslims attacked Sindh, Muhammad bin Qasim, Raja Zahir, and entered Multan and India. At the time of 4th Imam, during the 4th Imam, Muslims conquered nearly whole known Africa. Africa is too far from its dark continent, which
200 or 300 years ago, we entered in that position. The all the known Africa from Egypt to Morocco and Mauritania and Sri Muslim attack, and that is the same time of Imam Ibn al-Ashidi. And the fourth very famous commander-in-chief, Muslim in Aqaba, he attacked Turkestan and entered into Russia. So at that time, at the time of fourth Imam, the Muslims conquered so many countries and they entered every continent of that time. Europe, Africa, Asia, and that part of Asia which is in extreme north, India. So new problem comes, and with these new Muslims, they came with their new problem, because the cultural, because the eating habit, because the dressing habit, because in Europe they have already a woman law, India they have also very very ancient kingdom, they have their own law. Now all are mixed up. And everyone is asking Imam, what is the Islamic point of view about this? Roman says this, Indian says this, Russian says this, what is that? And the problem, new, for example, new kind of animal, Muslim first time saw this type of animal. Just like European first time saw kangaroo when they go to they went to Australia. So new animals, new food, new dressing, new thing. Now, there is a need of ishtihad. Fourth Imam not only restricted himself to Medina, but government also put many restrictions for those who are trying to meet fourth Imam. Now, there is a time for ishtihad. That means Imam called a group of his sincere students, teach them fiqh, and then spread them into the whole world. So, those people living, for example, in Africa, living, for example, in Spain, no need to come to Imam. But these students of Imam are not Imam. Their knowledge is limited. Their what they gain from Imam is limited. So Imam gave them the permission of ishtihad. It is the time of fourth Imam when the need arises. But fifth and sixth Imam officially established the institution of ishtihad even. Sometimes they are close students. Sometimes a layman came, Ya Rasulullah, what is the ruling about this masala? Imam said, told. But when a student of Imam came, Mala, what is the ruling of this masala? Imam says, I am not going to tell you the ruling. I am giving you a formula, a usul. You have think on that, and then derive the reply by yourself. For example, one person says, it's not an assumption, no, it's a real history. Imams, one of the closest students came, Yabna Rasulullah, if somebody has a doubt in his salah, whether I am reciting third rakat or fourth, if a layman asks, Imam says, consider it fourth, and then pray one rakat namaz. But this is the Imam, the student who is going to the future masjid. Imam told him, I am not going to give you a clear reply. I am giving you a rule, a formula, a law, a usul. Iza shakatta famne ala akhtasa illa butla masala. Whenever you are in doubt about the rakat of namaz, always assume the akhtasa, the maximum size. Except in those cases when the maximum side is going to be out of salah. For example, in 2 and 3, 3 is maximum. 3 and 4, 4 is maximum. 4 and 5, there is no 5 rakat namaz in Islam. Instead of giving a simple reply, Imam gave him a rule and then asked him to derive the problem from it. Second example, a person, if these are the actual example from history. A person came to Imam and asked, Farzan de Rasul, Ya Rasulallah, I need wuzu for the Fajr namaz. In the
In that time, the culture, the civilization, the living style was that a person go first to bathroom, then do all the necessary things, then did Fajr Namaz and go straight to his work. He said, Mala, I did wuzu for Fajr Namaz. Now it's time for Zohar Namaz. I am doubtful whether my wuzu is still valid, but during that time, wuzu has been broken. A common, a clear man came. Imam says, your wuzu is valid, go ahead and recite Namaz. But one of the students, who will be the future, who would be the future of Masjid, ya Mujtahid, Imam told him, I am not giving you a clear cut and simple reply. In other words, Imam is saying that you are going to be Masjid. You are going to do your own ishtihad. I am giving you a rule, a formula, a usul. Iza tayakkanta shayan summa shakatta famze alayyasi. If you did a thing, you are quite sure you did a thing, and after some time you are in doubt that it is still valid or not, famze alayyasi, continue your past yaqeen. You did wuzu at Fajr time, it is 100% confirmed. There is no doubt. Now, you are in doubt whether this confirmed wuzu is broken or not. So, Hamzi alayhi yaqeen, continue your past yaqeen and consider yourself in wuzu. But, for a layman imam says, your wuzu is okay, go ahead to Zohar Namaz. For this student, imam didn't tell all this detail. I explained, imam tell one thing. إِذَا تَيَقَّنْتَ شَيْئًا ثُمَّ شَكَّتَّ فِيهِ فَامْضِ عَلَى الْيَقِينِ. Now, from this simple rule your Imam has given, Imam gave, this person now derives not only wuzu masala, hundreds of masala can be derived from this rule. For example, I am 100% sure I went to urinate and then I am doubtful whether after going to toilet I did wuzu or not. It's my habit. Always I did wuzu, but this time I am doubtful. Now from this rule, first is a yaqeen. Yaqeen, what yaqeen? I went to toilet. Then shak, I am in doubt, I did wuzu or not. So from the other yaqeen, consider yourself without wuzu. Now from the same rule, I wash this cloth, two days ago. Now I am doubtful, may possible that some najasat, I'm going from there, some drop of water fell, it's najis or not, I doubt. But 2 days ago, I washed it. 100% I cleaned it. Now I am doubt. I will consider this place is a path. All these things derived from the rule which Imam gave to one of the students, not every. Layman comes, Imam tell him, this cloth is far. Imam didn't go into that detail. So this type of ishtihad, when Imam giving rule, not only giving, repeatedly Imam says, it is our duty to give you the rule. And it is your responsibility to derive different type of masala from that rule. So there are so many examples, it is going to be another speech. So, from Rasulullah Khuda, ishtihad was started, but at that time, there was very limited need for ishtihad. In fourth Imam, the need of ishtihad is a burning issue, so fourth Imam openly started the institution of ishtihad with Imam Ali and Imam Hassan also running, but in a very, very small scale. And then fifth and sixth Imam, they told openly about the ishtihad. Therefore, if you ask any historian who is the first Shia Mujtahid, he will be unable to answer. First Shia Mujtahid will be a prophet time period of Imam Ali. That is one question. Second is that I mentioned Sorry, because my speech was very lengthy, I am now feeling a tiredness. So 10:30 I am going to finish my lecture anyhow, and then we will discuss this person to person here. Second thing, there are two types of hadith. One is written in book, and one hadith which we can't able to find in book. But this hadith was in the knowledge of past ulama. So when past ulama, all the past ulama, of especially Imam's time period, especially, not only, but especially Imam's time period, they are all consensus on one masala. There is their joint statement in that masala, it is allowed in Islam. But we don't have any hadith. There should be a hadith, especially in ulama of Imam, 8th Imam's period. If all the ulama, all the students of India say this thing is haram, but they didn't mention any hadith and we can't find any hadith in book now. But 8 Imam's student jointly says this is haram, that means they know a very authentic hadith from Imam. Either they forget to mention it book, or their book is spoil or destroy, and this book not transferred to us, but there was a book. Third and last thing, there was a hadith. Third and last thing, if any famous alim go against Ijma, then Ijma will be considered right. If any unfamous alim, we don't know about him, but Shaykh Tusi told us that my opinion is this, one of the very great alim of my time period disagreed with me. Who was that? Shaykh Tusi didn't mention. But mentioned that one alim which I praise him. But we didn't know who is this. This type of alim which is unknown for us, but has a very high status. Shaykh Tusi Allama Hilli didn't mention Bachcha Kachcha alim, your primary speech ki alim. So if Allama Hilli, Shaykh Tusi, Sayyid-e Murtada mentioned without giving his name, then the Ijma is broken. That alim may be Imam-e-Zaman. But if a very famous alim, I know who is Shaykh Tusi. Now all Allama say one thing, Shaykh Tusi, says, no, I am not angry with this. We leave Shaykh Tusi and we accept other ulama's Ijma. And there will be some detail also, but it's 10:30. We will discuss on one by one basis, but as far as online people, as far as the hall, the audience present in hall, as far as Hamare Buzurg Nakvi Sahab is waiting to close the door, and like I am finishing this today's dust with this dua, Khuda Banda, Tujhe Muhammad Wale Muhammad Ka Waasta, Jo Log Aaj Ki Raat Itni Der Tak علوم اہلِ بیت حاصل کرنے کے لیے یہاں بیٹھے رہے, انہیں دنیا اور آخرت کی ہر پریشانی سے محفوظ فرما, ان کی ساری حاجتوں کو پورا فرض کر دے, ہمارے تمام بیماروں کو شفا کامل عطا فرما, اسپیشلی سید علی مظہر قاسمی کو شفا کامل اور صحت عاجلہ عطا فرما, ہمارے تمام مرحومین خصوصاً مرحومہ فیروزہ بیگم کو اعلی علین میں بلند درجات عطا فرما, ظہور امام میں تعجیل فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم.